All right, everybody stand up if you would. We're doing a little series called First, and we're just believing the Lord to speak some things into our lives. Beginning of 2015, if you believe it. And this is called a series. Probably going to do two or three more on this on called First. And the scripture is, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, that means what restaurant you're going to after church, your drink, or about your body, if you gained a little bit of weight during the holidays, what you will wear, if you got the new outfit you wanted or not. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, where it is today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans go to the mall and run after all those kind of things. Don't you like my self-righteousness? I'm just full of it today. And your heavenly Father knows that you need to go to the mall. Come on, so I need to go to the mall. But here's the key. Seek first his kingdom. Everybody say first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things from the mall will be given you as well. Oh, I feel it this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your grace to us. So we ask you, Lord, like the Jews did of old, teach us of your ways, Lord, that we can walk in them and love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. One of the keys is that we're going to be learning is in a series about first is in 2015, rather, is that order is important. And the way you place and begin your year and what you do with it, how you place it, the order of things in your life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, but all things should be done decently and in what? In order. And there is an order in God. There's an order in the church. There's an order in the things of your life. There's an order in your marriage. There's an order that should take place. You know, in a courtroom, if somebody gets out of turn, they'll say, he'll hit the gavel and say, out of what? Out of order. You're out of, not what you're saying is wrong. It's just that it's out of order. And it's not just making sure certain things are in your life, but making sure that they're in the right order in your life. So 2015, what we're beginning with is not so much making sure that there's things in your life, but in what order they're in your life. Because that's the difference between whether you'll be successful in carrying out all of the resolutions you made or not, is the order that you put them in. Because if you don't put them in the right order, you end up in a week or 2 weeks or a month at having forgotten even what the resolution was. So one of the keys is, as we start off and we make these things, in Psalms 39, one of the reasons we need to do this is, as you get older, the old adage is that time flies and it just goes by quicker and quicker. And it really does. We were holding our grandkids this morning at the early service, at 9 o'clock service, and I couldn't but remember. It didn't seem like yesterday I was holding Ben and Jennifer up there. Come on, somebody. And I was keeping Ben off the stage, from wanting to play the drums or have a guitar or grab the microphone. And now I want to get him on this. Come on, I want to get him on the stage. And I was watching them, but time just flies by. And so David wrote it this way, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. And so when you do that, your days are numbered, and you need to know that because you don't have unlimited supply. There's a website called Death Clock. I don't recommend it, but I go on it ever so often. And what you do is you plug in your life. You plug in some variables about your life, your BMI, your age, where you live, what kind of personality you've got. And when they come to the end of it, you hit a button, and it spits out the day you're going to die. I'm going to die August 16th, 2051. That's when I'm going to die. And this is on an average, you know, just on the average American, how long you live and all that. And, it's just an average. But when you look at it and it spits out the day you're going to die, that tells me I've already lived two-thirds of my life. I got about 36 years left to live, and that's the end of it. And I think that's on the good side. I'll just say I think that's on the good side. And but it stares you in the face that your days are numbered. Your hand is like a breath, the width of your hand. It's like a breath, like David said, he understood it. And one day it's going to be a reality. And I have less time to live than I've already lived. And so one of the keys is when you got a lot of something, you tend to, you know, waste it or use too much of it. But when you got a little bit of it, then you tend to ration it. You tend to value it. You tend to use it, you know, in a lot better way than you would if you've got a lot of it. So what I'm doing, I'm making the case is that every one of us has just but a little bit of time left. When in the scope of eternity and what we have got to do in all of our lives, you blink, your kids are grown. You blink, and they're this age. You blink, they were little. We watched, had Isaac up here. He's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months, something like that, 11 months. And, you know, before they hit one, it's very hard to remember because every month it's a new number. And but he was up clapping his hands and, you know, doing all that and just watching him. And I remember because he was watching us and he's sitting there just clapping his hands and just the influence and the impact we have on him. So the order is important in your life. Moses wrote in Psalms 90, he said this way, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Because order is important, and whatever you do first influences all the rest. Whatever you do at the beginning of this year is going to influence the rest of this year. What you do at the beginning of a day will influence the rest. How many of you have ever gotten up and had a fight with your wife or husband at the beginning of a day? How many of you know that influences the rest of your day? One honest person in the front row over here. Yeah. No, we've never had. No, put your hand down, Jasmine. We've never had a fight. We've had intense fellowship, but we've never had a fight. But you know, at the rest of the day, that most of you, that'll eat away. Some of you just clogs. You just go to work. You don't even think about it until you get back home. But it affects the rest of your day. You know, how many of you ever gotten up late? You know, the alarm clock didn't go off. The electricity was off. You get up late. Get out of bed. Get out of bed. Get in the car, you know, rushing to school. And when you get there, you're half crazed. And the key, you push them out the door. You just need them to slow down. You slung around and slung them into the school and on and on like that. So what happens is what you do at the beginning of a day, a month, a year, that's why we've taken 21 days at the very beginning of this year to seek God. It's not a wasted time. It's not something we're doing. And if you can't make it here, it's live streamed, and so you can watch it. In fact, the first night I was still sick, and so I was watching it from the house over there and really entered in. So Moses said, though, teach us to number our days, because when you begin to number them, you find out that what you put is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 will affect 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it affects the rest of it. So whatever you spend your time on first can, your money, your time, your effort, your ability, whatever it may be, whatever you spend your time on first will affect the rest. And I love what Moses said. He said, teach us to number our days that we may gain. Here's what happens out of it. When you learn how to number your days, when you know how to order your days, here's what you gain. You do not gain more knowledge. The last thing most of you need is more knowledge. See, I don't think I'm going to tell you anything new today. I don't think you're going to say, I'm going to die? I didn't know that. Man, that is fantastic. I'll have to tell my brother about that. You already knew that. The problem is, the Bible says, when you learn to order your life right, you don't gain more knowledge. You gain a heart of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not more information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you've got. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the information you've got. One thing I've prayed, and Solomon prayed over it too, he said, Lord, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom. He didn't pray for more knowledge. He did not pray for more understanding. He didn't pray for more information. What he prayed for was wisdom. And I've seen a lot of dumb people that had a lot of knowledge and did not have the wisdom to apply to their life what they knew. And they had a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. They knew a lot of stuff. And so wisdom is literally being able to use the knowledge and the understanding that you have. And the problem with a lot of us is wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And a lot of us, the problem is that we know what to do, but we're not doing it. Anybody in here like that? Anybody know what to do? You know you should exercise. You know you should. You know what you should eat or not eat. You know what you ought to do in the Bible reading. You know what you, but you're not doing what you know to do. And knowledge isn't the problem. The problem is wisdom. And wisdom only comes from God. I've learned that in my life. I know you can learn a partial wisdom from experience, but I've met a lot of dumb people who's got a lot of experience. They got no wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. And when you ask the Lord for wisdom, the Bible says, ask of me. If you lack wisdom, he didn't say if you lack knowledge or lack understanding. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, who giveth liberally and does not abrade you. I pray all the time. I say, Lord, give me wisdom. God, I need wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. So he said, teach us to number our days. And what I do at the beginning, one of the things I do for myself at the beginning of every year, I'm going to do it for you this year, is I do the old example that's been around for, I don't know, decades on decades, and that is about the two jars. And the two jars represent your life. Almost all of you have seen this, but I just do it every year just to remind me. It just helps me to get myself back. The two jars, it just represents your life. And the small pebbles in here, that's the little things of life. That's surfing the net. That's Facebook. For some of you, that's all of it in there, Facebook. Twitter, surfing, shopping, hunting, playing golf. It's just the little things of life that just kind of fill up your life, the spice of life. And a lot of us, the problem is that we let all that stuff get in our life first. It takes priority. All that we're going to do, all of our life, all the little stuff that at the end of the day we say, oh, man, that changed my life. I was on Facebook. It changed my life today. Well, we don't say that. It's the little stuff. And what happens is this. When your life is out of order, when you have not ordered your life, when you've not learned to number your days, then you don't gain a heart of wisdom. What you gain is ulcers and stents in your heart and all kinds of things. But you don't gain wisdom. And so what happens is a lot of us, we just let our lives get filled up with all this stuff. And then at bedtime, we give God a little bit of time. Say, oh, God, thank you for today. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you, God. And then, we think about we ought to exercise. So laying in bed, we kind of put our toes up and put them back down, put them back in. So we put a little exercise there. And then we look at our wife. Oh, there you are, wife. Good to see you. I hadn't seen you in, all day. And so we put our relationship there. And then we think about at nighttime, maybe another relationship. Maybe, God, we ought to read, the Bible a little bit. So we start reading the Bible, and your wife had to smack you to wake you up because the Bible is all in your head like that and all. And then your relationship is, oh, yeah, we got kids. I forgot we got kids somewhere back in the hallway back there. And what happens is your life is like this. Your life is so crammed, it can't hold everything. It's sticking out. I mean, it's literally, and what happens is you've got all this stuff, and your life is out of control, and it's out of order. If there was a judge anywhere around your life, he'd be smacking the gavel, 24 hours a day. Out of order! Out of order! But what happens is this, and all of you see it, but I do this every year for myself. I'm going to do it for you. Is Lord, teach me to order, to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. And if you will do that, if you will put the big things into your life first, God, my time with the Lord, number one, seek first the kingdom of God, all right? And then time with my family, then relationships in my life, take time for that. Then if I'll go and if I'll... exercise. That ought to be a big one right there. Exercise a little bit so you live longer. And then, reading the word, prayer, you name it, put big rocks. If you will do that, what happens is this. Then the Bible says, if you will seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these things will fit. He'll add them to your life. He didn't say you couldn't have them. He didn't say they were bad. He said you just got them out of order. You're seeking all the things the pagans are seeking, and you're doing it out of order. So now your life feels like it's all too much. Man, I can't do it. How could I ever come to prayer all night? I'm so busy. I understand. Well, watch this. When you put things in order right, and you put the big rock, you put the big things in your life first, and you shake it a little bit. Look at that. Everything fits in your life. Isn't that good? If you'll seek first and order your life aright, then you will literally gain a heart of wisdom. And when you understand that literally, you know, for some of you, when you begin to understand that, it will make a total difference, because the order of your life is so important. Wisdom is needed. Here's wisdom. If you place the exact same things in your life, but place them in a different order, your life will never be the same. You will not feel hurried. You'll not feel defeated. You'll not feel like you're crammed so full you don't know what to do in life. You'll just learn that literally everything fits. Everything works. I'm not bulging out. I'm not like I'm a break. I'm at a breaking point. When you order your life correctly, everything fits. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then all these things are going to be added to you, and they will fit. And God starts our day. I focus on relationships, family. I focus on him. I seek him. I put him first. I make sure Sundays are the Lord's day. I don't, you know, my kids never, you know, there was a time my kids never asked, are we going to church today? How many know there are some givens in life? That was a given in life. Oh, I said, it's not just because I'm the preacher. Remember the story about the guy said, I'm not going to church. I'm not going. And his mother said, you got to go. He said, no, I'm not going. She said, you got to go. You're the preacher. Come on, somebody. All right. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, all of us know this, but few of us live this way. So what do we do about it? All of us know this. So you see the example. You know your life. Some of you are you know, looking at your life right now thinking that's it. Order is important. And I want to study some biblical principles that will help you do that. How do you get your life in order? All right, number one, three biblical principles about order. Number one, order determines capacity. You just saw that order determines capacity. If you flip that around and put the small pebbles in first, you'll not have room for the big rocks, the big things of your life, the important things of your life. But if you will put the important things of your life first, then you'll have room for always order. How many's ever cleaned out your, how many ever had a garage that at the beginning of your life, your garage was for your car? Did you know that garages are for cars? You may not know that, but that's what originally the intent of a garage was for a car. But majority of people, they can't even get their car in the garage because it's so packed of stuff. And there comes a day with, how many of you ever say, okay, enough's enough. We're cleaning our garage out today. And you go in there and you take everything out. And what the key is, one of the principles is, you don't start with a screwdriver and take a screwdriver. No, you start with the big stuff. You put the big stuff back in first. And then you put the little stuff all around inside of it. And they say, look there, my garage is twice as big as it was. Because order determines capacity. When you begin to order something, that's when you begin to learn that it determines capacity. And Matthew 6 says, and I read it again, says, stop worrying about what we'll eat, what we'll drink, the little pebbles, the little things, Facebook. The pagans run after these things. They surf the net day in, day out. They don't ever get off there. They spend 4 hours a day looking down at their phone. Come on, somebody. But the pagans, but the Father knows that you need them. They're the spice of life. But seek the kingdom first, and then these things will have place. You'll have the room to put them in there. They'll fit properly. You'll enjoy them. Capacity increases. Number two, order communicates priority. Order always communicates priority with whoever it is you're around. I wanted to make sure that my kids knew that in our lives, God was the most important person in our life. He just knew that. I mean, my wife, when she got up in the mornings, my kids knew better than to interrupt her when she's doing her devotions. No, honey, I'll get back. I'm doing my devotions. You're talking about examples. See, I was a smart man. I took a long time to figure out who I ought to marry. And I married somebody I knew that was better than me. Come on, somebody. And I just decided I was going to do that. And I wanted somebody that I knew would raise our kids right. And I knew because I wanted somebody that loved God more than they would love our kids. It's a hard thing to say, but I wanted somebody to love God more than love our kids. Because if she loved our kids more than God, well, then they'd become an idol, and they just end up warped in their life. How many think I got good kids? I got good kids. You know why? Because I was smart enough to marry a good woman. Come on, somebody. I'll just say it that way. Because order communicates priority. And my kids knew God was important because we made God important. And you never saw us say, I think we're going to lay in this Sunday morning and watch Three Stooges. What do you think, Ben? Okay, let's do that. If we'd have done that in our lives, I'll guarantee you my son wouldn't have loved God like he loves God today. My daughter wouldn't love God like she loves God today. And when you learn that and you understand that, they see that. Now, so order communicates priority. No matter what you say, what you don't say, how you order your life communicates to people around you. The example I use, I love, is the story of Jacob who cheats his brother Esau. And Esau is going to kill him. And, Jacob's mom says, run away. And he runs away. And for 20 years, he lives away. And finally, one day, God says, go back home. And Jacob gets his family. He's got a bunch of wives now. Why they did that in the Old Testament, I have no idea, but I'll just leave that there. But he had a couple wives and concubines and all that. And he heads home, and here's the story. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir in the country of Edom. And when the messengers returned, Jacob said, well, what did Esau say? And we went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you. He's got 400 men with him, armed to the teeth. Swords and bayonets and machine guns. They got killing in their eyes. And so the Bible says, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. And he thought, if Esau comes and whacks away one group, the group that left may run away and escape. And he looked up there, and Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. Watch how order communicates priority. Watch this. He put the female servants and their children out front. He put Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in. I love you, Leah. I love you just as much as I love everybody. I love you just the same. You lying dog, you. You put us out front. You put us right behind the servants. You lying dog. You say you love us, but order communicates priority. Order communicates love. Or is that right? I mean, whack, whack, let's run for our lives. And so, but all of us do that. Our kids watch us doing that. Our families watch us. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord watch you do that. How you order your life determines your priority. What you do with your money, what you do with your time, what you do with your effort, what you do with all that determines priority. You can say all day long with your mouth that this and this and that and this, but literally how you order your life determines. Jesus said it this way in the book of Revelation. I know your deeds, all your small pebbles. I know all your small pebbles. Man, you got a jar full of them. You got a jar full of pebbles, deeds. Your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You've tested those who claim to be apostles, but not. You found them to be false. You persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. But I hold this against you. You left the big rock outside. You didn't put the big rock in first. You filled your jar up, your life up, your day up, your month up, your week up. You filled it up with pebbles of good stuff. It's not bad stuff you filled your jar up with. It's good stuff. But you left the biggest, most important rock out first. It won't fit in now. You've forsaken the love you had at first. The first love. And so he comes and he says, and listen, God was noticing what they were putting in their jar of their lives. God was noticing in this church in Revelation what they were putting in their church's life, in their own lives, in their personal lives. And God's watching what you're putting into your life first. God's watching what you're doing. And says nothing, God is noticing everything you put in. And order is important. Then the next one is that order impacts the rest. When you understand that, literally, I remember when I was in one of the worst classes and worst subjects I had in college was English. Anybody here feel the pain with me? Anybody feel the pain with me? All right. When I was in electrical engineering in college, and I remember I had to take a couple years of English classes. And I remember the first semester of English class, and the professors knew who were the engineering students and who were the, you know, other students. And I remember I wrote my paper, turned it in, and I remember when I got it back, it was a big red line on the second page. It was about a four-page thing. On the second page, there was a big red line that says, "This is as far as I can read. I cannot read any further." So I had to go in and meet with the professor. And I remember the professor said, "Hey, let me see your outline." The outline, I said, "You told me right. I just wrote a paper. I wrote a paper." And she had talked about, you know, how to do an outline. I had just not listened to how that you're supposed to do an outline first, do an outline, and then off of that outline, write a paper. I didn't know that. I just wrote a paper, and so she probably knew that I did because my paper was meandering around, going every which way, because it didn't have any structure to it. And what happens is when you order something to begin with, it impacts the rest. So you're supposed to make an outline. You're supposed to outline it, and then that impacts the rest of your paper, how you're going to do it. And when you understand that, what happens is this, is when you do that, whatever you put first becomes the organizational principle of the rest. That's why order is so important, because what you do first becomes the organizational principle for the rest of your life, for what you do the rest of that day, what you do the rest of that month, that year, that life. And Proverbs says it this way. This talks about money, but we're not talking about money today. We're just talking about priority. But in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the, everybody say the first fruits. See, God's not just after fruits, he's after first fruits. And when you notice that, the power of it, because it will always, always impact the rest of it. Whatever you put first, and we'll do that on a separate day about first fruits, but it will impact the rest of it. The first has the power to bless the rest, and that's a whole principle in itself. Okay, probably everybody in here agrees with this, then why aren't we doing it? All of us agree with this. For most of you, you haven't learned anything new. You just said, yeah, I know that, yeah, but I agree with that knowledge. We have the knowledge of it, but we need to learn how to number, order our lives so that we can gain a heart of wisdom where we can do what we know to do, where we have wisdom to be able to order a day correctly and stay with it. And Proverbs says it this way. The Bible addresses the foolishness of a life that does not order itself. A life or a family or whatever that does not know how to prioritize and put in order the right thing. Here's what it says. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Just gets up there, live life. Literally do it. And what happens is, look at verse 24. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Just takes off. I mean, just goes and does what he wants to do. And when you understand that literally, you can say something, but if your life is not saying it, you know, 96% of Americans say they believe in God. But look at what Titus says. It says they claim, 96% of Americans claim to know God, but by their actions they do what? They deny him. They don't know him. They may say they know him, but they don't know him. And so when you understand that God, listen, many say God's a big rock, but he's on outside the jar. And he's not really been put in there in right order. He's put in there, you know, at bedtime, they say their prayers and all. For a lot of us, our lives are out of order. And it's not that you've got bad stuff in your life. And it's not that God's against the stuff you put in your life. It's just that your lives are out of order. You need to put your lives in order. If you put them in order, it increases the capacity. It communicates the right priority to your children, to your wife, to your husband, to the world. It just makes a difference. And so you put things in your life in the wrong way, and you're feeling the painful effects. And one of the statements I like to do is in your outline with this. It says the distance between the truth that you know and the truth that you live equals the pain you experience. You know it, but you don't live it. And that equals the pain that you're experiencing in your life right now. The good news is that we serve a God who has a solution. And the good news is we serve a God who knows how to give you a fresh, empty jar every 24 hours of the day, every 365 days of the year. And you get a brand new jar to fill up how you want to fill it up. So you have a chance to this beginning of 2015 to order your year right. That's why we take 21 days and we stop everything else. We just have fasting and praying, seeking God. We're putting Him first. We're seeking the kingdom of God first. It's not just some ritual that we're doing. We're doing it because we believe it will make a huge difference in our lives, the life of our church, and the life of everyone that participates with us. So one of the keys is, what's the big rocks? And what are the big rocks of your life? Let me go through that, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go. Number one is three guiding principles for finding out what is the big rocks of your life. What is the big rocks of your life? Because we all have the kind of the same one about God and what we're doing. But beyond that, there's some other big rocks that can be individual for you and for me. And let me give you these and we'll end. Number one is discover your values. Discover your values that you've got in your life. When I say that, I mean, what motivates you? What's your inner motivation? God made each one of you different than the person beside you, than your wife, than your husband. You ever been, you know, the two of you together and you're watching a movie and one thing moves one and doesn't move another one? Yeah, good movie. Good movie. That was the best movie I ever saw in my life. And you just doesn't move you like it moves the other person because God made you different. And 1 Corinthians 13 says it this way. It says, we cannot oppose the truth, but we must always stand. Everybody say stand. Stand for the truth. Well, it means more than just assenting to it mentally. It means sometimes you've got to take a stand. Sometimes something's got to move you to the point where you take a stand for the truth. I believe God puts certain motivations in each one of us. What do you love deeply? What really, when you see it, when you hear about it, what makes you righteously angry? Not unrighteously. We all need to deal with that. But righteously angry. And sometimes when you see it, here's what happens. You say, hey, not on my watch. That's not going to happen on my watch. I remember years ago, my brother had some issues with my younger brother with schooling. And he was in the 12th grade and found out he'd been socially passed all the way through. And he was on the 8th grade level. And me and my older brother, we put some money together and we put him through a school in 1 year, brought him 4 grades in 1 year. It was one teacher for one child. And it was expensive, but we brought him in a year's time. We did that, and something in me was born. Hey, not on my watch. They're not going to happen here in Baton Rouge on my watch. I had not finished my degree in electrical engineering. I went about halfway through. But I said, I think I can start a school. I think I can do it. I don't have a college degree, but I think I can start a school. And that first year, I started a school. I had K-4 and 5. I started a program called Abeka. I didn't know what Abeka meant. And just heard it was good and started it. Hired one teacher. I was the principal, 23-year-old. I was so wise and all the rest. Never been married and never had kids. And I was dealing with 4 and 5-year-olds. Let me know 4 and 5-year-olds. And Zed bring me, she'd bring me these. This teacher'd bring me these kids up here to my office. And we had one. We had just one. We had this building and the two buildings in front. She'd bring these kids, these 4 and 5-year-old kids up there for me to whip. How many know at 23 years old, it's hard to whip a 4-year-old and you're not mad at them? I'm up there just chewing gum and having a good time on the phone. Yeah, okay, bring me in. Whip them. And I remember they'd bring them in here and I did over and over again. Well, I just couldn't whip. Come on, son. I just couldn't whip them. I just reason. How many of you can't reason with a 4-year-old sometimes? So I had a good time. So you can imagine what kind of daddy I was. I had a fun time. But learning it, I just learned. I said, not on my watch. And we built a school back here. We built it. We had Don and Dorothy was in the first service with us. And there came a time when the only people in the city that were standing up against abortion were the Catholics. Thank God for the Catholics that were doing it. And we went in with a Catholic situation. They showed us some movies, and man, it moved our heart. I said, not on our watch. And we started funding a center, and we bought a property over here. We built a building, we got two anti-abortion clinics going. This morning I said we got two abortion clinics, and all of a sudden I heard this ripple through here. And it's anti-abortion clinics that we have over there. And we had it for a long time. They were under in the phone book and under the heading of abortion clinics, and we just left them there. We didn't tell anybody, you know, any different. We just left it there. And then one time the Spanish community is growing and growing. And so I said, well, you know, there needs to be a reach out to them. We started a Spanish church. It was a time when we were the only one. And then we started a radio station. At that time, we only Spanish radio station. I said, what is it on your life that you said, not on my watch? That's not going to happen on my watch. That's how you can determine a big rock in your life. What about you? Like, what is the big rock in your life? Determine that. And then the second thing is determine what is most important. Determine what is most important in your life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, and the word in the Hebrew is the word kazon. It means a plan, a dream, a revelation. Where there is no plan, where there is no revelation, where there is no dream about your life, people perish. And the word perish means to literally cast off clothes and run around naked. It's one Hebrew meaning. It means to cast off restraints. I remember T.D. Jakes said one time, he said he had a man in the back, I believed he was David, and he started dancing around in his church, and David said, you know, he flung off his clothes. He said, this guy flung off his clothes in the middle of church. He said, I learned this, the man was demon possessed. He said, I learned something. The demons I can't cast out, I have arrested. Come on, somebody. But if you wore a T-shirt, and your T-shirt said, I was made for this, what would be the heading of your T-shirt? What would be the top of your T-shirt? I was made for this. I was created for this. What would be the plan, the vision, the thing for your life? What is it? How do you do it? What would be that you would say, hey, that is what I'm calling. That's what I'm about. What's my life's mission? That's where I'm heading for. Acts 20 and 24 says, and one of the best things I've learned to do, and listen very carefully, I think one of the best things I can ever do for you as a pastor is not just work you through your problems, though we will do that, and I love doing it. But the most important thing I can do for you is to help you discover your life's mission. Because the happiest people on earth are not the people with no problems. The happiest people on earth are people with problems that know what their life's about. Paul wrote it this way, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And he said this, he had so many problems, so many accidents, so many, you know, you read about one time he lists the things he's gone through. But he didn't, they weren't as daunting because he knew his life's mission. He knew what he was about. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to do. And I believe the happiest people on earth. And Ephesians 5, so God tells us this. Watch what he says. Be very careful then how you live. 2015. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me tell you something. If you want to make 2015 the best year of your life, as a church, we're about four things now. We told you this. I'm going to tell you. Number one is, if you'll commit the next 6 months, the first half of this year, to be at church every Sunday, be at church every Sunday. Don't let anything knock you out. Be at church every Sunday. Now, last Sunday, I wasn't at church. I mean, it takes a lot for me never to. And I bounced, and I didn't bounce up. I just bounced, and now I'm about. But number one is come to church. Just make that a given. Not going to happen. Be at church every Sunday. Second thing is become part of a small group. In February 8th, we kick it off. But better than that, decide to lead one. You'll learn more by being a leader than you ever learn by any other way. Join it. Kenny starts his men's class. If you're a man, you got to be up at Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, up in the front building, we're starting a men's class. And encourage you to be there. And on the 18th, we're doing another class. But on the men's class. Third thing is go through the growth track. That's something we do here between services. Four Sundays, all it takes. You don't miss a service. Just four Sundays. And you'll learn what our church is about, the history. You'll learn our vision. You'll learn, number two, the essentials. But third thing is you will learn, it's happening next week, which you can be a part of. You'll learn then why you were made for, what your gifting is, how you're gifted. And then number four is if you will literally just become part of a team, give. Instead of just coming and receiving, give. Become part of one of the dream teams. Just start giving. Start helping. Start doing whatever it may be. And if you do that, listen, I'll guarantee you in 6 months, your life will never be the same. You will not be the same. You'll be changed. You'll be a giver. You'll learn and all around. So those are things. Imagine what you would do. I like the Phillips translation of this, how it says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility. Not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Everybody say amen. And then the last one this morning is number three. Decide who is most important in your life. Jesus said, I love what he said here. He said, I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning this morning. We didn't get to bed till late. And I woke up about 4 o'clock or so. And I had a dream. I woke up from a dream of sister, who? Yeah, Sister Peggy. Remember Sister Peggy? I used to call her Sister Piggy. That was so. My kids were little when she first started coming, and we watched, you know, Sesame Street. And I did the unthinkable. I said it one time introducing her to the congregation by sheer listening to Sesame Street too many times. But she was a great woman of God, and I had a dream about her last night. And just we were crossing the river and doing this and that and all the rest. But she just knew what God had for her life. And every time you meet with her, here's what she'd ask you. First time you meet her, I hadn't seen her in months and months or a year, and she'd come to me, she'd say, Brother Terry, what's the Lord speaking to you? Brother Terry, what's the Lord speaking to you? What's the Lord speaking to you? She didn't want what happened yesterday, you know, a year ago or 10 years ago. What's the Lord speaking to you right now? What is the Lord speaking to you? What is the Lord talking to you about? What is it? And one of the keys is this. She loved God with all her heart, and you have to come to a decision where you decide that God is the most important thing in your life. God is most important, and then people are second. Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said, love. Everybody say love. Aren't you glad he didn't say serve or know or understand? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, all your might, all your... And then he said, and the second likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you want to know how to a big rock in your life, here's the next one. Is not only, God, but here, love God and love people. Put God first in your life. And many of us, that is the reason why that we're not really enjoying life, why life is so out of kilter, that life is just so over, is that we've not put God first. Lay everything aside, would you, and just do that. And I want everybody to stand up today. We are, you know, at a place where literally putting God first is what salvation's all about. And that's really where all of us, many of us got saved, was we just had been going to church. I don't know how many of you, but I've been going to church most of my life. And God had been a part of my life, but not the number one in my life. Had been first. He was just a part. You know, I went to school, I went to work, and I went to church, and I went, you know, did all this, I did all the other things, and God was a part. He was a spoke, one of the spokes. I had all these spokes in my life. You know, I had this spoke was God and church, and this spoke was work, and this spoke was family, and this spoke was, you know, school, and this spoke was... So he was just one. But see, that's people that are unsaved. If that's how your life is, then really you're not saved because God is just a part of your life. See, God will never do that. God will only be number one. Seek, everybody say first. First. Put that rock in first. Make that a part. So one of the keys is God number one in your life? That is a criteria of salvation. Is he the most important thing of your life? He that loveth brother and mother and father and sister more than me is not worthy of me. If you got rocks in there before me, you're not worthy of me. So I know he said, oh, Pastor, I don't like that. It's kind of hard. And no, but he said it. If you don't love him more than you love all body, everything else, then you're not worthy of him. So he's got to be number one. He's got to be the first. Close your eyes, would you? And only you can answer that for your own life. Maybe you got off kilter. Maybe you've gotten to where you've filled your jar up of your life with so much stuff. And you're communicating all kinds of junk, even though your mouth is saying it and what you know it's to be true. But your life really isn't there. It's out of kilter. It's out of priority. It's out of order. Out of order. And so today, it's not that you've got maybe sinful things. It's just it's out of order. It's just out of order. You're seeking the wrong thing first. You're just going after the wrong thing first. That's why there's so much chaos. That's why there's so much trouble. That's why it's so, you're about to blow up, about to lose your mind, you can't fit everything in. Man, it just can't fit everything in here. That's because it's out of order. So, Father, this morning we just pray. I pray especially for our church. Lord, every life in here this morning is so out of order that they need to be put back in order. Thank you for the desire to do it, but I pray for wisdom. I ask for wisdom for our church, for every member of this church in here this morning. I ask for wisdom, Lord, and you said you would give it liberally and not abrade us. You would pour it out on us. So we pray, Lord, just pour it out on us, wisdom, Lord, to be able to do that as we number our days, that we may gain that heart of wisdom. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus number one in your life. And maybe you just come to church, you enjoy it, maybe, you know, all this. But you've never made him number one. He's never been he's the hub. He's not a spoke, he's the hub. But everything else ties into, and off of that comes everything else. And that is salvation. He said, listen, you've got to, listen, you come to the place where you call him Lord, Lord, but you don't do this thing, you don't make him number one. So if you want to do that, I want everybody to pray with me. If you want to make him number one, you don't know how to pray. Let me help you pray, and then we'll just end with that. Say, dear Lord, I repent this morning of just making you a part of my life. I ask you today, become number one. You're the center of my life. I surrender everything to you. Be Lord of my life. Thank you for dying in my place and buying me. I belong to you, and I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering today. Would you do that? All right. Hug somebody. We'll see you next Sunday.